You're listening to the Collaboration Twins podcast with me, Kelly.
And me, Rob. I hope you guys enjoy it.
Hello and welcome back to episode 3. Now, last episode was meant to be us covering pregnancy and trying to push two babies out, as we were going to call it. But we spoke for too long, so we're actually going to just talk about the birth today.
Yeah, and before we do that, though, we want to talk about where we are at exactly today with Ted and Aaron, 8 months old. So, like, what's been happening this week with us and the twins?
Well, they have officially seen the nursery they're going to be going to. They settled in really well. I'm feeling really confident with it. So, yeah, we've applied, and officially by the end of next month, they will be nursery goers.
And, like, what was it, a Montessori school?
Montessori. So it's all very child-led, really encourage independence. But, I mean, when you go, the important thing is, are the staff nice to your babies? Are they happy, healthy and settled? Yes.
And you did you bring your teacher out?
I did, and I feel quite sorry for the lady that took me around, because she was a Senko.
What a wanker.
And then of all questions to ask me, so what do you do? I'm like, well, I'm a special education needs teacher. And I was like, so do you do Mackerton with the children? Because I do Mackerton with them. I must have sounded like a right knob.
So, end of the month, end of the next month, isn't it?
Yeah.
How do you feel?
Well, I had a bit of a mummy day today, didn't I? Mm. You had the twins for pretty much most of the day, while I had a cheeky little lie-in. Then you went out to breakfast with Uncle Ash, took the twins. You came back very briefly, I fed them with you, and then I fucked off to the gym. So, it was hard, like I missed them, but it was nice having me time. I think it made me realise that. And actually, I think it's good, really important for Ted and Erin not to just rely on one person. I think it's really important that they can go with you, with me, and for, obviously, when they go to nursery, just get used to, I'm not going to be here 24/7.
Hmm. And obviously, we've been sorting out all the costs of it all. Fuck me, it's expensive, isn't it?
What was it we were going for? Tax-free childcare.
Yeah. 20% towards it.
Yeah.
But so still comes in about, it's 500, almost 500 quid for one day, isn't it, a week?
Yeah, because what we're doing is we're paying for two sessions for one, obviously, because we've got twins. So it would it'd be a lot cheaper if we had one baby.
Yeah.
But, so it's essentially like having one child in nursery for 2 days.
So that's that this part of the week. And then what developments would we say that the kids have had this week? More teeth?
Ted was really grumpy, really snotty, wasn't he? Yeah. Had bright red cheeks. And then we lifted up his top gums. And there's like five teeth
like
there.
Like a shark.
Yeah. Honestly, like when they say teething, I thought it meant like one tooth. But he's got his two front teeth and a couple of incisors. He's got honestly about five teeth coming through. No wonder he's been a grumpy little son.
Aaron's just falling straight afterwards, isn't he, with him? Yeah. About a week behind.
And what else is Ted doing with his little sippy cup?
He's holding it.
Ted feeds drinks out of a sippy cup all on his own.
Although, saying that, like, there's some in the mouth, but some literally, like, it's like a river in the bib.
Yeah, but the point is, he's holding it and trying to do it himself.
It's great, though. It's great.
Erin's just like, no, you feed me. I'm not holding it.
You got kisses this week from Erin?
Yeah, I've never had kisses. So I've always kissed him, obviously, and go, kisses, kisses. And then today, she was doing it loads, having missed me. But yeah, a couple of days ago, she started doing it back. She essentially just open mouth on your cheek and licks you.
Yeah.
But it's, and she's so happy, like that's her kissing. It's beautiful.
So let's jump into this episode, yeah? So that's what we'll be doing is just updating you where we are with the twins on each episode, just so you understand. So when we do come to a point where they're in nursery, you've gone through that journey of how we felt towards the steps of all of it.
Yeah.
So let's jump into this episode. Last episode we finished was about to go in for you to give birth.
Yeah, we spoke about a lot of pregnancy symptoms, and one thing I really want to like make a good point about is there were some of the symptoms that I had, and they were, you know, they're fairly common. But if you have any worries, just call your midwife, because that might have been a normal symptom for me, but it could also be something else. And also, I think as a culture, aren't we, like British people, we don't like to interrupt and like disturb people. But please, even that day we had to go in when we thought my waters were breaking early, they turn around, they will say to you, I'd much rather you come in than you suffer in silence and it'd be something. So always talk to your midwife if you're worried about anything. That's what I'm going to say.
Okay, so let's jump into this one. Right, so to get into the hospital.
Well, I think it's really important to know if you are having twins to be prepared that they are most likely going to come early, whether that be labour spontaneously starts before 40 weeks or whether you're induced.
Oh, yeah, because we sort of like, I was still painting the twins' nursery room, weren't I? And dicking around with that. And then like, I think it was when we actually had to go into the hospital for that, like, potential thought that you were coming early. I think that came to a realistic approach thinking, holy fuck, we are actually coming to this point soon. So we started to then start packing stuff, didn't we? Getting stuff ready. So from a mum to be perspective, like, what you packed and what you didn't pack, like, what did you learn from that?
I think you,
like, what's the itinerary checklist?
Yeah, I mean, in hospitals, I packed and was a little bit cautious that we might have to stay in for a few days. But worst case scenario, the hospital have things for you to buy. Like, you had to go and get extra nappies, didn't you? And they have size zero nappies. So most shops, you need to get size zero with twins, definitely, because they'll be quite small babies. But it was there for us. And if worst case scenario, you could have left the hospital and gone to a Tesco's or something up the road to get stuff. So don't fret too much. But I mean, make sure you've got, I'd say, a pack of nappies, some wipes, a couple of outfits for them, some pre-made, ready-to-go formula.
Remember, like, early hours of the morning with that pre-made stuff. So, like, definitely having some of that in place. The premi teats as well.
But the hospital will provide that, because we had Tommy Tippy bottles and the nurses and midwives said, like, they're premi babies, that teat's too big. So they will have things there to help you.
Okay, so from a mum's perspective, though, not just from the baby's side.
What do I need?
What did you take and what you should have really had as well? Because there was some stuff, wasn't there?
Yeah, I mean, something you feel comfortable in, like a nursing bra and a nice dressing gown, definitely. Things that make you feel fresh, like deodorants, makeup wipes. I tell you what really came in handy. Someone gave me a pack of Tenor Ladies, because you will have a lot of bleeding afterwards. And actually just wearing those made life so much easier for me. Rather than putting pads in, just get Tenor Ladies. And you know, they're fairly sexy nowadays. You can get some nice little pattern put on them.
No, they won't.
Okay.
No, they won't at all.
All right. Well, they're easier for me. I'd recommend those. And then things like, nipple cream if you're going to breastfeed, a couple of breast pads just in case. But yeah, think about home comforts that you would like. Like, it was nice being able to freshen up my face, put a bit of lip balm on, a couple of nice comfy clothes, dressing gown.
Oh, dressing gown, that would have been a good one.
I did have a dressing gown.
Yeah, no, for me.
Yeah, so what would you say then from a partner's point of view? Because what they would do, especially having twins, is they will let the partner stay with you. So what do you think you need as a man?
Like you said, though, comfortable stuff, like trackies, joggers, sliders, great one. Just all those parts. The ability to actually try and freshen up yourself without needing showering facilities, because I didn't have any of that.
No.
Like, so being able to do that. Just some stuff around, obviously, like even just stock the car, I'd say, with stuff like pillows and anything that you think that's going to be right.
Pillows.
And perfect, isn't it?
I bought my maternity pillow in, didn't I? My U-shaped one.
And then I think like that, so from and try and do it so you have advancement for a few days in advance of, like, the clothes you're going to wear and all sorts of stuff. But the things that I'd prep for would be, like, evening wear that, you know, I struggled with that, didn't I? Well, I didn't really bring, like, lots of trackies and lots of stuff so that when we were feeding them throughout the night, you know, we needed that sort of stuff in place.
I think we have missed the important thing, though.
What?
Water, drink, snacks.
Oh yeah, all that, yeah, water, drink, snacks.
Definitely have drink and snacks because hospital food, as we know, is not the best.
Yeah. So, first day in.
Well, should we actually speak about whether it was natural birth or C-section? Because actually, over 60% of NHS twin births are elected C-sections.
I know, but like, for the viewers out there,
yeah. I think it's but it's important to know because I did a lot of research because basically Ted and Erin were head down, so I opted for a natural birth. However, I also prepped for emergency C-section, what that would be like, because there's a high risk of that. And that's what happened to us, wasn't it? It yeah. did turn into emergency C-section. So I wanted to know all the options. So by 36, I think it was 32, 36 weeks, we had one of the final scans. And if twin one is in breech, which means they're lying across your womb, you have no choice. It will be a planned C-section, which, you know, you can plan for. You can have a nice set list. Head down, both of them head down, I opted for natural birth. So I remember thinking, I want to go as long as I can, but I'm not going to lie. He made that phone call at bang on 37 weeks and said, do you want to come in? Should we book this in? Should we come and get you in juice? And I was just like, yes, let's get these babies out of me.
Yeah, because you wouldn't have fit to like the maximum term for twin to be mum.
Yeah, they like you to have them between 37, 38 weeks max with an identical. I think it might even be 36 with identical twins. I'm not 100% sure. But yeah, so I went to 37 weeks, which is classed as full term. So we went in on the Thursday and I was induced.
So we had that little room, didn't we, when we started off?
Yeah, private little room.
That private little boxy room with no windows.
And no TV.
No TV. We had that little...
Bring a laptop with Netflix. That's
my iPad, wasn't it? I propped up on that old stand that actually used to have a TV on before probably the NHS sold it off and made some sort of money on it. So, and that was vital, wasn't it?
Well, what I found weird is, though, basically, when you're induced, what they will do is they will insert something up into your cervix, and it's like a little tab which has got the hormones with a big string, and then she fits it into your cervix, and then she's like, right, off you go. If you want to go for a walk around the hospital, crack on. So we went and had a bit of lunch, didn't we?
Mm. And then so that, how long did that go on for?
So we went in on the Thursday.
Just two rounds of that, wasn't
yeah,
it?
We went in on the Thursday morning. They put the pessary in, it's called, at 10 o'clock. And the consultant did say, look, they're most likely not going to come until Saturday.
Yeah.
So round one, was it she said about my cervix? It was very ripe.
Oh, it's a ripe cervix.
Yeah. I had a very ripe cervix, which is a sign I probably would have gone into labour naturally if I left it by a week. Yeah, so they do that. It doesn't hurt. They use numbing gel in case you're worried. It doesn't hurt at all. You can't feel it. And I think I started to get... I got really hot, didn't I?
Mm.
And...
Yeah, bouncing on that ball and all sorts of stuff.
It felt like I was on the very early... I got a bit of back pain and bum pain, and then it all stopped. And 24 hours later, the pessary had fallen out. So they said, right, we're going to give you another pessary, and I think this will kickstart it.
Yeah.
So I had a second round, and that's when I remember, because I had really bad sciatica when I was pregnant. And do you remember, I was walking down the ward and I was like, oh my God, I've got sciatica on both my bum cheeks now. She was like, I don't think sciatica, Kelly. I think you're probably in labour. I was like, no, it's definitely sciatica. I was in labour.
I was digging it out, wasn't I?
Yeah,
well.
I was like, just dig in, get it out. It's not, it was... Because everyone had told me that when you're in labour, your back hurts. Well, I just had a really bad bum pain, maybe because I had two babies, so it's lower down. And I'd been getting Braxton Hicks from about 31, 32 weeks.
Yeah.
And they don't hurt. It just feels like a bit of pressure. So I remember thinking, oh, Braxton Hicks are back again. And now I've got sciatica on my bum. And, you know, it wasn't painful at all. It was uncomfortable. But it turns out that is the early stages of labour.
Yeah. And then you were like, that went on for some time though, didn't it? When you started to really, because they then fitted the little monitors to you.
Yeah, I'd say
the pink and blue little straps.
You constantly have monitors on you to monitor the heart. You have one for each twin, so that's two, and then one for your heart rate, so that's three. I'd say by sort of Friday evening, wasn't it, they were like, okay, we could confirm that I was definitely now in labour. I was contracting. And again, it wasn't, I'll be honest, it wasn't that painful in the early stages. I was okay with it.
You were a bit more like, it was with your back, wasn't it?
It was my back, lower back and bum was hurting. I'll be honest, I was so anxious in labour. Yeah. I was a very anxious person. And I'll tell you why. Because people love to tell you stories. And the best advice I had was from my mum. And I remember she just took me to one side and she said, it's not that bad. And my sister said, it's not that bad. But I think I built it up in my head. And actually, looking back, I was in was actually my anxiety rather than more than anything. Oh, the pain wasn't really that bad.
No, I mean, and like the main anxiety was born because of your fear of needles and stuff, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And like that when we had that evening, and like they couldn't put just a simple line in your hand, and then like, and there was a woman next door. Obviously, she was going to labour, so she was screaming and shouting. Obviously, we were in the other room, etc. Thinking, oh my god, like we could hear her. And then I remember, like, they had to bring the anaesthetist in. And obviously, she was going into labour. Or she was actually about to give birth. He had to be in the room for her. And he was in our room trying to put a line in your arm. I remember him going, like, what was it? You were like, can you come back later? And he was like, there's no fucking later. I'm doing it now, isn't it? Yeah. And you had your headphones on.
I know.
Playing calming music.
I opted, didn't I? So I opted to have an epidural just in case of anything going wrong. I wanted to have an epidural so they could quickly whisk me in. And it was definitely the right decision. But I'm not very good with taking blood or putting needles in my veins. My veins pop up. And because I was so anxious, every time they were putting the needle in to try and do the... I'm trying to think what it's called.
What the...
Cannula, that's it.
Cannula, yeah.
Every time they tried to put the needles into the cannula, my veins were popping up, so they couldn't get it in. That hence why they had to get the anaesthetist. And yeah, I just remember me going, but I'm not calm, I don't think I can do it. And he was like, there is no time. And then you just put these headphones on and put some calming music. I just tried to breathe it through and just like, just do what you got
to
do.
Fair play to the guy. I mean, he had like... like a radio going, we need a fucking anaesthetist into surgery right now. And he's like trying to put this thing in, like, I've got to go.
It's probably best that I did have the headphones on then.
So we got from that point, and then they got to the point where they started to say your cervix was dilated enough. Like then we got moved in from like almost like the pre-rooms
to the actual
labour room.
Yeah.
And that was quite an interesting one because we'd obviously by then it was like early hours of the morning, wasn't it? Well, evening, wasn't it?
It was Friday.
Yeah, Friday.
We went in Thursday morning.
Because there was no windows, wasn't there, in the room we had. But it was the evening part. They moved us in there. And I remember going in there and it was freezing cold. And for me, like, I remember looking to the left and, like, the curtain, you've got, like, the two little beds for them.
Yeah.
And the little hats. And, like, that was, like... I get teared up for that.
I was going to say you look teary now.
Because, like, I remember thinking, like, wow, this shit's real. Like, there's going to be two little human beings in there. And shortly, obviously, at this point, you were still trying to go for a full natural birth.
Yeah.
So, and then they were awesome. That's when we came across Cecile.
Oh, do you know what we have said? We need to get Cecile on here. Cecile was amazing. Yeah. She was, I didn't even realise she was a trainee midwife. I think she qualifies very soon. And so throughout the course of me being in hospital, she was by my side. She was amazing. She was so calm.
Yeah.
And one of the things, do you remember I said to you before we went, I was like, just make me laugh.
Yeah.
And so although sometimes, you know, I was a little bit anxious and all these things were happening, there were some funny moments.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So we went into that room and then the stuff started to happen in the fact of, like, they tried to give you a, what's that thing on the back? The epidural, wasn't it? They did the epidural in there and then...
Which doesn't hurt.
And then obviously, but at the same time, it was the epidural, but I think it was your nerves were kicking in to get it all through and get it all, like, you calming yourself. But I mean, the doctor, the anaesthetist basically complimented you on your your straight back.
You have a very strong back.
You're on a very straight back.
This is when I was slightly high and tired. I was like, oh, yeah, you're
like sucking on air, like, yeah, I was amazing.
I was like, I used to deadlift 100 kilos. Yeah,
exactly. Like, and then so like you had that, but then for everyone listening out there, so when Kerr had the epidural, at the time they were obviously trying to get. Like Kel's cervix needed to be sort of balanced and sort of thinner. So they'd put you on one of your sides to one side was thicker than the other side. So they're putting you on one of the sides to try and get you through. Erin was almost in that position to see whether that would work. And then obviously that then affected your epidural, didn't it? In the fact of like you had one side you could feel it, one side you couldn't.
Oh, yeah.
Along with your gas and air.
By the way, is the best thing. And then, if you have gas and air, go for it.
And then you're going through that, and then they'll ask me, like, do you want a cup of tea and all sorts of stuff, like, trying to calm me. And by then, obviously, we had had, like, 2 days worth of this going on, weren't it? Throughout the night, all bags of nerves. It was late night, early hours of the morning, wasn't it, I think, at the time. And I remember them saying, like, she'd be fine for a bit now, like, just... Try and go to sleep. So I sat in the hospital chairs, the most uncomfortable fucking thing. So one of the things I'd say, if you're a guy who is trying to support your partner through that period of time, you've got to a point where you've got to have some sort of sleep. Like those little U-shaped pillows that you get on the plane, like I'd probably recommend just to go in there. And they'd probably think you're a bit of a dickhead because like your partner's about to give birth and you're coming in with your little snooze thingy. But like the hospital chair was really awkward. I remember getting on there and I took my shoes off just to get like some sort of comfort. So by then I was absolutely shattered and obviously you were like even more shattered, what you're going through. And then I remember sort of dozing off and then get woken up and then you were just chatting shit to me like high as a kite, like, right, Rob, they're going to try and break the waters, Erin's waters, and blah, 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 blah. And I was like, whoa, like, I just literally had this, like, really quick, intense, deep sleep. And you were like, I need you here. So I, like, remember standing up by the side of the bed. And then, like, they just all rushed in. They're like, right, we're going to break her waters. We're going to try and get Erin, try and move this more on, etc. And I remember just, like, standing there holding your hand, like, fucking hell, I was just dreaming about fun. If you go, like, what's going on here? And then they broke your waters. And then I was like, God, my socks are very wet now. I think, like, all those broken waters just went all over my feet. And I just still stood there like, come on, come on, girl. And it was such a surreal moment.
Some of the things they say, though, I remember her when she was checking after they broke the wall, she was like, oh, twin one's got hair.
Yeah, well, actually, at the same time, so the reason why they broke the waters was because, basically, like, Ted and Erin had, obviously, different sacks, so they were in their own little bubble. Ted was little happy Ted in your ribs, just happily way kicking the shit out of your ribs, not giving too care. And then, obviously, Erin was, like, twin one, so she was, like, trying to do the great escape and burrowing her head down, like, come on, I'm going to get out of here. But obviously, they needed to start that motions even more. So that, hence why they broke the water, to try and get the motion of Erin to try and push even better.
Yeah,
even
I was more, dilating, but I was not dilating as quick as they would have liked. I think I was about 3 centimetres at this point. So I'd had the... When they broke the water, so I'd had the epidural ready to go, but I wasn't having it, I don't think, much.
No.
I had the gas and air for if I needed it, but I wasn't on it at that point.
You were sucking around a gas and air.
I'll be honest.
You were like, I got to the point where you were like, this gas and air, because you're like, this gas and air, the bottles went out, and the woman was like, there's no bottle, it's directly connected to the wall, and you're like, it must be broken of some sort.
I'll be honest, the gas and air for me was a massive anxiety relief. Yeah, I mean, I was feeling pressure of the contractions. Again, it wasn't massively hurting. It just felt like a lot of pressure. And it was more tired at this stage, wasn't it? And I remember...
You were knackered by then, because you'd had no sleep, still going on. Kept on coming in and checking you. And, like, you'd get into a point where it was, like, a good few solid days.
I'll be honest, it's just uncomfortable because you've got 3 different monitors on you. You've got 2 big babies. as I said, I one side of my cervix was more dilated than the other. So they moved me onto one side to try and even it out. And then that was just...
Full bladder.
That was really uncomfortable. I had to have a catheter. So basically my bladder was like... were like, we'll just do a catheter. I remember actually going through labour and she was doing it. I was like, I'm going to piss myself. And she's like, it's fine, it's fine. And what was it the midwives said to us? If you don't poo yourself during labour, you've not done it properly. Yeah. And I remember just going, you know, I was prepared that I might poo myself, but no one said I was going to wet myself during labour. And it was a case of just let it go. They had a mat underneath. It was like, the mat's here, just let it go. And I was like, Rob, I'm really sorry, but I'm just going to have to piss myself.
We went to a deeper level, didn't we, during that labour. So that started happening, and then they monitored and said, like, we get to the point of this part. But then, obviously, where they'd broken Erin's waters, she had already started that process. Ted didn't have a fucking clue. He was, like, in his little... Obviously, knowing him now, he's probably sitting like, oh, it's lovely in this little red bit. I'm all...
So,
when they had monitored the heart rates, like, Ted was, like, normal. He was fine. Like, not even a clue what was going on. Erin, the burrower, was trying to dig herself out. And, obviously, her heart rate started to spike because she was getting to a point where she was getting a bit of distress from that part to it. So they monitored it. And then it was like the early hours of the morning going into that. It was 7-8 o'clock shift. I remember the shift change, wasn't it?
Yeah, so they came in and they basically, I was 9 centimetres.
Yeah.
So I was very close. And they said her heart rate, because that's what the monitoring for, so they can see the heart rate in a different room. And they came in and basically said her heart rate is between 180 and 200. It's too high. If it doesn't count, like, calm down in the next 20 minutes, it's going to be an emergency C-section. So I remember them going, try and push. So I was trying to push at 9 centimetres. And obviously being my first babies, no, it wasn't happening. And then they spoke about getting forceps. And I was like, no.
I know, it was a shift over, wasn't it? They had a change of shift. And that new doctor came in and he was like, bosh, right.
C-section.
This is blah, blah, forceps. C-section, and I remember you, like, still eyes are caught on your gas in there, like, sucking in, like, I ain't got a clue, and then he was like...
No, I remember being very... but actually, I knew, like, you're in tune, so I knew full well that I didn't want it to be forceps.
I know,
I knew that Ted wasn't
ready. And then you were like, right, gonna go for this, and then obviously they said, right, we've got to do C-section, and he had that contract, and he got started writing it, and blah, 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 one in this, and one that, and you were, like, just nodding away, like, sucking on this gas in air, and you just, he's like, sign there, and you just wrote Kelly.
They came in, they were like, oh, gas in air, could you feel the contractions? I was like, yes. I was like, is it a bit of pressure? No. I was like, okay, so don't think your epidural's working that much. No shit, Sherlock.
And then so, like, literally you signed that and then it was like, bosh, right, C-section now. So they rushed you into the other room. Mm.
And this is where I'm really glad that I spoke to Lo, who's your friend, who's now my best friend, actually, because I see her more than you. But really glad that I've spoken to other women about what a C-section is like. Because I think if you go in there knowing, it makes it so much more bearable. It's not, I'll be honest, it's not horrific at all. So I just want to explain what a C-section is like, because there is a very high risk that if you're having a twin pregnancy, that it's either going to be a C-section from day one or it's going to be an emergency C-section, which has happened to me. So you go in, I had to have where my epidural wasn't working, I had to have a spinal tap, which again... it's absolutely fine. It's not, you know, it's not much more than having a blood test.
But they were great in just when you got in there.
Oh, the midwives are so good.
The team was there, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So, like, made you so reassured, both of us. I think we sat there realising, in that room, we'd gone through that, drained. And then they were like, you could tell, like, they just had their shit in order. Like, right, we're going to do this, sit there. Get that in place, you know what I mean?
But there was a part of me thinking they were so lovely, weren't they?
They were lovely, but like, direct, but you knew that they gave a shit.
Mm. I mean, it's hard from the woman's point of view because I was 9 centimetres and it was like, we're so nearly there. And I'll be honest, like, you know, I wanted that natural birth.
Yeah.
But when you hear that, I mean, and Erin actually has got a small hole in her heart. So as soon as we found out that afterwards and she was in distress of her heart rate, it was the best thing for her, best thing for me. Ted probably has other issues on it.
Yeah.
So we go in, and then the midwives are there holding your hand, reassuring you. They give you the spinal tap. You lay down. They squirt water, don't they? And they go, can you feel it? Can you feel the cold? And as soon as you go, no, I can't feel it, and they know you're numb, then they C-section. And
screen up.
There's a screen up. So you don't see any of it. And then you just feel like it's a strange sensation because you're completely numb, but you feel like you're being tugged and pulled, but it doesn't hurt. And I think knowing that was quite good for me. So I remember just closing my eyes and just focused on my breathing because I was so tired, and I was now obviously all of a sudden rushed in this theatre room, and just you were there holding my hand. I was just doing steady breathing, concentrating, going, yeah, this is normal. Yeah, I know I'm going to feel this. And then you have that magical moment because I just wanted to be awake and with it enough. So then they go, right, are you ready to meet little girl? And they drop the screen. And I remember seeing this little ball. And I just remember thinking, she looks just like Rob as a baby.
Yeah.
It's a little Rob. And she was just this little ball, wasn't she? And
blinking her eyes like, hello.
Hello. Mia. What the... And then the screen goes back up. And then literally it's about 20, 30 seconds, isn't it? And actually Ted and Erin both have the same birth time. They're both technically born at 10:32. And then Ted comes out and he looks like a little Lord Voldemort when he comes out.
He looked like a cross between Lord Voldemort and the Karate Kid.
His arms are up and he's screaming at us.
Like the crane kick, whatever it is. In Karate Kid, where he's like came over like flying over the thing, like all angry, because obviously he still at this time his heart rate was normal, like he did not have a fucking clue that
he was about to be born,
that he was about to be ripped out of his sack, his sack pulled out, and then presented to these bright lights in his world and these random people he had never met before. So he came out like so angry at life, like, oh my god, I can't believe I was happy kicking mummy's ribs.
But my first thought in seeing Erin is, oh my god, you're not small and you look like daddy. And then seeing Ted going, and you look small. Have you mixed my twins up? Because you told me he was a big twin and she was a small one. And like, you've clearly mixed these two babies up because he ain't big.
And Ted looked like the spitting image of your granddad, which is old man Ted in his own right.
Yeah, so Edward, aka Ted, is named after my granddad, Edward.
He came over like some Voldemort / Karate Kid /
Do you know what I mean by like that, your, Voldemort?
And scene, yeah. Like look like your granddad. And I was like, oh my god, he looks just like a mini Ted. Like looks like a baby version of your granddad. It was so weird. And then obviously then they needed to obviously sort you out. So they said they took me into another room whilst they sorted you out. They prepped the twins ready.
What they're meant to do. So, and again, this is quite normal for some people after having a C-section, is I was really shaking. You know when your teeth really chatter. And again, someone had told me that this could happen, and it was a case of that's why I was focused on my breathing to try and stop my jaw chattering so much. And they bring and they was like, do you want to hold the babies? And I remember just going, I'm shaking so much, I can't give them to you. Give them to Rob. And I remember they showed me. So I was lying down. They put them. Yeah. Don't know, by my face, so I could see them and they could smell me. I remember that. But I just remember thinking, I can't have them on me or hold me because I'm just shaking, just due to probably the tiredness, the drugs I'd had. Did you hold them straight away?
In that little bit down there, yeah. But yeah.
I remember going, like, give them to Rob, I'm shaking,
not,
I can't
not
hold
as
them.
Until I went in the other room and they had started bringing them through and they were starting to do that bits before you came through.
Yeah.
Obviously, so... That's when properly, like, they were both wrapped up and, yeah, do have the ability to hold them properly.
So I got wheeled out to recovery, I remember that, and there's a midwife there giving me water out of a straw to sip on, and then they're going, okay, this is, I remember holding her in, and they're going, yeah, she was born at 10:32, she's 6'4", I remember thinking, Jesus Christ, that's quite big for a twin. Holding her for a little bit, and then going, do you want to hold, and here's the boy, he came over, here's Ted. Here's Edward. He was 5'3", and he was also born at 10:32. And just having that, and you've got those pictures.
Awesome.
That's the other thing I would say, especially if it's a planned C-section. Like, get yourself a playlist, because they said to us, "Do you want to play any music?" I just remember thinking, "No," because one, we hadn't discussed the music. I didn't want it to be the wrong song and anything like that. So, if you're having a planned C-section, you can pick your own playlist, and. Yeah, how lovely is that? And then you don't have all of the tiredness and the rushing.
We discussed that, didn't we? Originally,
yeah.
But the experience we went through was the experience that we
but
had.
I'd prepped from day one. I was like, it could be an emergency C-section, and I think that's the best decision I made, because I think otherwise, it could have been maybe a slightly scary experience. You think you're going to have one birth and then you're suddenly thrown into theatre. But I would say there's nothing to worry about. Staff and doctors are amazing. Babies were really healthy. It was the best thing for them. I didn't feel anything. And to this day, my scar is right on the bikini line, and it's a thin line. It's literally, it must be 10 centimetres, I assume.
How they pulled him out of that? How they pulled Erin's head out of that?
I know. I look at it now and think, how did you get two babies out of that? Yeah. You don't see it. It's covered with your knickers. And
yeah.
Yeah. Incredible.
So that's... And wrap up for this episode.
Yeah, so that was our birth story.
Yeah. So what we'll do next episode, or one of the episodes, is we'll talk around from the moment we held him and what was that like. And then... How to survive what the first?
Let's say how the many first. Weeks? I'll say the first 2 weeks.
Yeah. Even talk if about you, the first 2 weeks.
Even if you have a single baby, the first 2 weeks are nuts.
Yeah.
So the first 2 weeks with twins, you just come out of it and think, "Holy fuck!"
Yeah.
It's magical. It's amazing, and I'd love to do it. I would do it. I'd do it again.
No. So two twins, and that's it. That's the twins, and that's it. Over. But we. Yeah, so that the other next episode for everyone listening out there, we'll talk around like from the moment of that for the first 2 weeks, how we had the hospital experiences, going home, what was that like, and all that sort of side to it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome. Thanks for listening, guys.
Ciao.